Off the Ball Rugby.
The overwhelming kind of reaction is that he's fortunate to be selected there, that, you know, the likes of Tom Jordan, maybe Darcy Graham, that they're unlucky that they're not called up.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast
with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
It's an unbelievable show. You're very welcome to it. Tuesday mornings, Off the Ball Breakfast. Get us on 087-9180-180 on WhatsApp. And on YouTube, type in Off the Ball, click into us, and you'll see four people looking back at you. At a time when many businesses are cutting their production lines, this guy's gone the opposite way. He just can't help but produce. It's Arthur O'D. MSN Chat was an iconic instant messaging service for those who remember back in the day. We've got the updated version for 2025. It's DSN Chat. Darragh Smith-Knock.
How's it going?
And the show, The X-Files, needed two iconic characters, Mulder and Scully. We've got a two-in-one legend for ourselves, Megan Scully.
Oh, I like that.
Now, why do we have Darragh in studio today? Why not? Says you, first of all. Yeah. Second of all.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Talk us through it. Ben Healy.
Talk us through it, right. Ben Healy. Jeez. Kind of thought he was, that was his thing on stage six when he won. You kind of like, all right, that's his year done. That's the highlight of his year. And then just...
This is last Friday days. We were talking.
Yeah.
Very excitedly in the
And then just 4 days later, he goes and takes the yellow jersey. It's, listen, someone who's grown up watching cycling, it's just brilliant to see. Like, it's been 40 years. Like, I've never seen an Irish rider in a yellow jersey. I've seen riders go close. Dan Martin has been thereabouts. But this is just... It's completely unexpected. Like, that's the brilliant thing about it. Completely unexpected. I can't say enough good things about Ben Healy. Like, it's just, yeah, it's brilliant.
So the parents from Waterford and Cork, respectively. He's just the fourth Irish cyclist to wear the yellow jersey.
Yeah.
The other three, of course, we mentioned there. Stephen Roach, 1987, of course, won the whole thing. Sean Kelly in 1983 and Shea Elliott in 1963.
Yeah.
But Megan, you have a bit of skin in the game here with Ben Healy, do you?
So obviously the name has just blown up over the last few days, but a friend of mine actually cycled in the national championships, and I think Ben was about 20th time, and he said that he just was flying through it, and I think that someone tried to get ahead of him just to slow down the pace, just because they were like, he just was gone. And of course I think he won that year, but you were saying he kind of comes over, wins, and
yeah, like he's I suppose he's born in England, raised in England, so he's not he's not from Cork or Waterford per se, but he'd come over for national championships and he'd win them and he'd head home, true professional that he is. But it's just brilliant to see his rise, because he's still so young as well. Like
24.
Yeah. He's still so young.
So he has a 29-second lead over Taj Pagachar, who's the star of the sport.
Yeah.
In general classification. Today's a rest day.
Yeah.
So tomorrow is when the world will see him wear that yellow jersey.
Yeah, it's coming at a brilliant time as well, because he put a lot into that stage yesterday. He ended up in the position that he was. He was with a lot of top riders, but none of them were too far up to the general classification, so they had no interest in it. They only had interest in the stage. Whereas he built such a lead that he realised, right, I already have a stage in the back pocket. I can get the yellow jersey here if I keep going. So now I've just got to put the work in for the last 40k, and he just put in the performance of a lifetime. Like, if he doesn't top that for the rest of his career, it's okay. Like, that was a top. That was a world-class performance yesterday. It's one of the best Irish performances in any sport, period, over the last few decades. But even just to take the jersey off someone like Pogacar, Pogacar's probably the best cyclist of all time.
Really?
A lot of people acknowledge that he's already there. Like, it's one of those things, like, it's like Antoine Dupont in rugby. He probably is the best in the world, but you just can't really say that yet. You know what I mean? Like, he is the best of all time, really. So to take it off someone like him, now listen, he lost a couple of teammates during the day, did Pogacar, but that doesn't take away from the effort that he put in. And 29 seconds is not a lot. He may not hold on to it for too long, but at least he has a rest day now. And I think it's a flat stage on stage 11, so he'll have it for a couple of days anyway.
Yeah, what are his chances, do you think, of holding on to it, or for how long, and what is he happening maybe?
It kind of depends. Like, he was speaking to, I think it was Matthew Stevens after the race, and they were kind of asking him now, like, you have to turn to GC now, don't you? Like, does wasn't the plan, but you're wearing a yellow jersey. You have to respect the jersey as it is. So his team will have to rally around him, but listen, you've Pogacar and Vingegaard are two of the best riders of all time. He'll have a couple of days. Like, I think there's a time trial on stage 12 or 13, and that will be a massive, massive test for him, because those two guys are world-class time trialists. It's not Ben's speciality, but it doesn't really matter. Okay. You know, like Sean Kelly's one of the greatest cyclists we've ever had and was a top cyclist on his day on the world stage, and only had it for one day. Mm. So to have it at all is, you know, it's a massive achievement as it is.
Listen, Rick Astley was singing Never Gonna Give You Up. Whitney Houston wanted to dance with somebody. You two still hadn't found what they were looking for. That was the last time an Irishman had the yellow jersey, 1987.
Yeah.
But we have found it now.
Yeah.
Healy's story describes it as a fairy tale to get the yellow jersey. Is it a surprise for the sport in general that Ben Healy has the yellow?
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, it's not a surprise that he's out there dominating races, really, because that's his style. He goes out and he just grabs the bull by the horns, but it's a massive surprise that he's able to take it off Pogacar. Now, the UAE probably made a bit of a mistake to let the breakaway go as far as it did, considering who was there. But that doesn't really matter. Like, that's what happened. That's bike racing. People won't be surprised to see Ben going for more stages, but they'd be surprised when they come back after the rest day on Wednesday to see him in the yellow jersey. You're like, wow. He looks good in it as well, I think.
He does.
Suits him, doesn't it?
It does. It looks very nice, his complexion.
Yeah.
Could I, one thing with you, like, is this a life-changing thing in terms of professionally?
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, like, I don't know how the team's elements always kind of confuse me, because there's obviously amazing cyclists and teams who are never going to win because they're servicing a better guy.
Not that style, yeah.
Yeah. But like, does that mean now when this is over, when the season's over, when his contract's up, whatever it is, that you're immediately more desired?
Yeah, like maybe people in that team might be looking to him being like, you might need to take the step up, because he's looked at a guy that'll go out and get you a stage win in the Tour, or he may compete in the week-long races, or he'll do very well in the Classics. But now, like, he's the holder of the yellow jersey after 10 days.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of yellow jersey holders that may not be GC contenders over the years, mainly sprinters or puncher riders, but not after 10 days. Pogacar had that jersey.
Yeah.
This was a mountain stage. Like, this wasn't a flat finish. This wasn't even a hilly finish. This was a mountain stage, and he's taking it off Pogacar. So I don't know. Stephen Roach was kind of saying there to Sticky Bottle over the night that this is a life changing and career changing moment. Like, this could be a turning point in his career. That's like, okay, you're going to go from a stage winner to, you know, he's not going to win a Grand Tour this year, but maybe that's the way he'll start training. That he's like, right, I can compete with these guys. We haven't seen that since Sean Kelly, Stephen Roach. We haven't had a rider like that in 40 years.
I have one more thing. You know that famous picture of Lance Armstrong? It just comes to mind when he in the living room with all the yellow jerseys.
Yeah.
When you hold it, are you still within your rights to go and frame it afterwards, or is that a bit uncouth?
Oh, I think so.
You have to win it, or can you still
get a physical jersey? So I think you can hang
once
that
once you had it. Okay.
Do they have limitless supply of these yellow jerseys?
Yeah, I presume so. Yeah. You should see, like, when he comes back out on stage 11, he'll be all killed out. The bike will be yellow. The helmet will be yellow. The glasses will be yellow. It'll be a great sight. I can't wait. Can't wait just to see it.
Roughly, how many yellow jerseys could be worn and handed out at a Tour de France? Or
It changes hands, like, because a guy like Mathieu van der Poel held it there for a little while this year. Often sprinters will get it if the first stage or two is a sprint stage, they'll be a sprinter. So, like, maybe someone like, well, whoever's just sprinting well, like Sam Bennett could have potentially had it the year he won the green jersey, just if stages went his way in terms of the profile. You might be looking at, like, I'm sure Vingegaard may hold it at some point this year, so you're probably looking at four or five during a year. Oh. Three, four, depends on how strong the field is, I suppose, as well. But for him to hold it after 10 days is extremely significant, because he has to wrestle it off him on a mountain stage, which, like, very few riders have ever or will ever take it off Pogacar. There's probably, I'd say, by the end of his career, only two or three people will take him a jersey off him.
Okay, well, that's
on
huge.
A mountain stage.
So that was stage 10.
Yeah.
And there's how many stages?
21.
Yeah. Halfway mark, yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Listen, we have the renowned cycling journalist Andy McGrath on the line here. But first, I want to play this montage that Darragh Smith himself made.
And he's going. He makes his move. Ben Healy, with 46 kilometres to the finish line, decides to go. It's one thing being in the wheel as well, Larry. It's another thing being able to hold on to it.
Not too much, Ben, on this climb. Not too much. Keep an eye on the others.
Martinez a gutter and Yunsi.
Ben's a door there.
Ben Healy's a rough again. Paul Hogan say Born Clay. 50 kilometres to the goal.
Big Ben Healy's a gazzy wheel up, Yakada.
Good job, guys. Now Healy in yellow. Healy is leader now.
Ben Healy has a 29-second advantage right now.
First Irish Maillot Jaune in 40 long years. From Stephen Roach to Ben Healy, the Emerald Isle turns yellow.
Is it sinking in yet?
Yeah, honestly, no. If someone had told me I'd be in yellow and have won a stage in the tour by the first rest day as well, I wouldn't believe it, you know. I'm just super proud to represent Ireland and wear the yellow jersey for them, and hopefully I can do it some justice.
This morning, I asked you if you were focused on GC. Now, you have to be.
Yeah, I think it'd be rude not to be, you know.
Andy McGrath, good morning.
Good morning, how are you doing?
Sum it up for us, the achievement of Ben Healy yesterday.
I think it's, you know, pretty monumental. I think he's maybe joining the greats. Okay, he's not winning like Stephen Roach. He's not won as many races as Sean Kelly, but, you know, the stage win, that was enough. That's made his tour, you know, 4 or 5 days ago. But to do this is just more than the cherry on top. It's just another cake. This isn't the kind of thing that normally happens either. Most riders of Ben Healy's profile, and it should be said too that he's not someone who normally wins these kind of stage races. Most of them will be happy, but he wasn't satisfied, and his team wasn't satisfied. And he's turning into the story of the tour, frankly.
Joining the greats, I imagine, is a sentence that you don't usually say lightly, Andy. Is that pure achievement? Is it to go with his talent as well? What are we talking about here when it comes to Ben Healy and greatness?
Well, I meant to say the Irish greats, you know. He's not quite Sean Kelly, Stephen Roach level, but he is now the Irish rider of the new generation. But the thing about Ben Healy is that he's not the most exceptional physical talent.
Right.
He's not a Pogacar, he's not a Vingegaard. And he doesn't have the team with the riches or the power to control the race. But what he's doing here is extremely rare. He's still racing his race in a sport controlled by a few super teams. And the way that he does that is playing completely to his strengths. Like, Ben Healy would have known weeks, surely months before the race, that he wanted to attack on that stage six. From what I've read, yesterday wasn't so planned. It was a big surprise for the team. But stage six is really where the foundations were laid, because that's where he got that early advantage. And he just does everything. He maximizes his superb engine, just not exceptional. He gets very aerodynamic. Tactically, he's very astute. Mentally, exceptionally like determined. And physiologically, as we've seen, he can recover extremely well. So having seen that montage and him saying it'll be rude not to go for GC, that put a smile on my face, because it's intriguing, isn't it? Now we get to see, with the help of his rest day on the tour today, just how far Ben Healy can go.
We heard here yesterday evening on Off the Ball that he's been described as a diesel engine, which I'd never actually heard before, and I thought it was phenomenal that he can go all day but that he doesn't really have the explosiveness. But apparently that's something he's been working on that maybe people didn't expect from him in this Tour de France. So is that, do you think, what he has been doing? Did he kind of almost figure out the way to I guess achieve what he's achieved? And as well, they reckon he was studying Tour de France previous races, like literally sitting down watching them like putting this plan in place. So maybe unbeknownst to us all, he was doing all this in the background.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like a school student, you know, studying for their final exams, doesn't it? But it's clearly paid off. And that's another thing to remember, that Ben Healy's just getting going. Like, he's also, he won't be wearing the white jersey of best young rider, because it'll be in the yellow, but he's technically leading that classification too. Like, this guy's, I think he's 24.
Yeah.
There's still potentially, you know, 10 more years of success. The only thing is, once you win and you have success in this way, as you know, the arch breakaway hunter of the Tour de France, it gets harder to win, in my opinion. Like, he will have to find perhaps slightly different ways of winning. So, like you say, changing that diesel engine, that's a different way. But his card will be marked for the future. That's the only thing. But I'm sure he'll get better in the next 5 years, which is maybe a scary and interesting prospect.
Yeah, and it's fantastic as well from the Irish perspective. But how high is the ceiling for a rider like Ben Healy, as we've described with the diesel engine? How far can he actually go, like a rider like that?
In terms of winning the Tour or...
the potential in his career. Yeah.
We've already seen him nearly win, you know, Liège-Bastogne-Liège, Flèche-Wallonne, these April classics that he's really suited to. The problem is he's in the same era as this Tadej Pogacar, who can win almost anything apart from a bunch sprint. But that being said, the ceiling's very high, basically. Ben has never really targeted a high-level stage race, so that's why the next 10 days could be really interesting. He's going to learn lots about himself, his capacity. If he does recover well, bearing in mind that you contend in these races by saving energy, he's not saved very much, has he? But if he does recover well, I don't see why a top 10 is not out of the question, which would be a superb result.
Talk about Pogacar and his stature, but a guy like him, he's very aware of Ben Healy. Like, even on the radio, it was played in the clip there, the UAE team, they mention him taking the yellow jersey and they just say Healy as opposed to Ben Healy. These guys are very aware of the threat that Ben Healy is to them.
Absolutely. Like, I think it's a combination of respect, that they respected his effort in the breakaway, and partly tactics too, frankly, that Pogacar doesn't want one more day in the yellow jersey, because it's a lot of rigmarole. You have to go to a written press conference. You have to do all these commitments that he is so used to. I think he's had about 45, 50 days already in the yellow jersey, which is something most riders could only dream of one day. So that puts it into perspective. But he is a rider to respect, not necessarily to fear, though. Like, they'll be perfectly happy to have that 29-second margin. That won't be a kind of concern. But it just means Pogacar's team can ride on the back foot for tomorrow's flat stage around Toulouse. So it's a tiny bit of energy saving for them as well.
Can you give us an idea of what the reaction was amongst journalists in France? Because I suppose there was about, I would say, 70k to go when people started to kind of clock that. And he's got about 4 minutes here, and... UAE had lost Yao Almeida the day before, and another one of the riders was feeling ill on the day, so it was kind of like their chase was a bit nerfed, you might say. At what point did the journalists kind of start thinking we could have an Irish yellow jersey here?
Yeah, I think maybe in the last hour on that penultimate climb, as the gap didn't go down and that breakaway group really thinned out. And I think it is a popular win among the public and the journalists, because we don't want to see one or two teams, one or two riders just holding the yellow jersey all the way through. We want to see competitors. And Ben Healy is an underdog. His team, EF Education, Easy Post, they are also underdogs. They're not full of money. They're probably a mid-table budget team. And even the way Ben Healy rides, like, compare him to Pogacar, it doesn't look so easy. His head's kind of slanted to one side. You can tell he's making the effort, which is the way that so many people ride. It ought to look hard, shouldn't it? And that's very relatable. So, yeah, I think it was a popular underdog win for sure.
Do you mind just going through, because I suppose a lot of Irish people that wouldn't really be cycling fans kind of tuned in, especially for that last kind of half an hour to an hour, to watch Ben Healy. Can you kind of explain what was going on tactically wise? Because I'm a big cycling fan myself, so I kind of understood why he was just pulling that group along by himself and no one was really taking turns. But can you kind of get into that a bit as to why he was putting in so much effort and no one around him was really helping at all?
Sure. So you had this hilly stage, 4,000 metres in the Massif Central. First things first, it was a massive breakaway group, you know, 29 riders, and he had three teammates. So that was important. That took the onus off him for the first half, really, of the stage to spend even more, you know, pennies energy-wise. His teammates could absolutely smash it on the front, get the gap out to 4 or 5 minutes, and they could drop back, safe in the knowledge that, yes, Healy could go to the stage, could go for the stage win. We can't forget he wasn't far off winning a second Tour de France stage, which really would have been something. But they had that goal in mind. He would have been hearing on the race radio from his calm team director behind that the yellow jersey was in play. And you know, as that goal crystallized, he was being told, do some work, don't do too much. Because like in a breakaway, you want to keep the cohesion with your kind of comrades, but it's also the kind of scenario of my enemy's enemy is kind of is my friend, that you kind of want to work together for as long as possible and then absolutely attack each other and go for the stage win. So he wanted to keep that time gap. He wanted to keep it smooth, which is only so easy when you're going up and down these 6-7 kilometer, you know, mountains. And then he wanted it to play out on the final climb, and it all kind of worked out. Yes, it would have been nice to have the stage win, but this is absolutely huge for him, for his profile, for the team's, you know, profile in the media. Ben Healy will never experience, possibly, 72 hours like he's going to experience. All the media, all the interviews, could probably be on the front page of several newspapers here in France. But yeah, tactically, it was really a bit of a masterclass from his team too.
Well, he's all over the papers here too, Andy. You know, he's used the word fairy tale as well. Today is a rest day, but it must be a very difficult rest for Ben Healy because there'd be so much attention on him. And then we're back on schedule tomorrow. What kind of a stage will that be?
Well, I don't think he'll be drinking pints of Guinness on his rest day or anything like that. He'll be doing tons of media. But tomorrow has a bit of a punchy finale.
Right.
If he's rested decently, a kind of rest, inverted commas, he'll go for a little coffee ride probably. But if he's rested decently, he should survive any attacks that happen in that punchy finale into Toulouse, and he should keep the yellow jersey for another day. Pogacar could light it up, Vingegaard could, but he ought to be all right.
Okay, that's
my feeling.
And so is there a stage upcoming that will potentially really trouble Ben Healy and he could lose the yellow jersey?
It's hard to say because it's mainly flat, but it's got several, you know, steep 1 kilometre climbs in the last 30K. That said, that is kind of Ben Healy's bread and butter. So as long as mentally and, you know, physically he's okay, that shouldn't trouble him. What I really want to see is what happens on Thursday's stage. That's a high mountain stage finishing on a ski resort called Hautacam. That could be curtains for Ben Healy's time in the yellow jersey, because Pogacar or Vingegaard might want to really impress themselves on the tour with a big move.
Right.
Or we might see something heroic that extends his fairy tale.
Does he have the acumen to kind of outperform the odds on Thursday, given the stage itself, given the hilliness of it?
I would like to see it, but he hasn't proven it in the past. Right. That said, he hasn't been in this scenario in the past. He's a stage hunter. He's never contended for a 3-week Grand Tour. So we're kind of in uncharted territory here. I think it would be a big shock if he keeps the yellow jersey on Thursday. And it might need some kind of inertia from Vingegaard, Pogacar, Evenepoel, the other favourites.
It is fascinating actually to see what will happen, because no matter what, we always have this moment. And then I think the natural human psyche is to think, well, what's next? So even to hear about Ben Healy's day today, sometime in the future, will be of huge interest to me anyway. But Andy, you've interviewed Ben Healy a number of times. You know him quite well. He comes across so well in media. And like Dara was suggesting, a lot of people have only been introduced to him properly, really, for the first time in the last few days. What kind of a character is Ben Healy like in usual days?
Ben Healy's a nice kid. he's understated. I think you kind of see that in the reaction videos, that he's slightly mild-mannered. He doesn't know how to deal with all these cameras on him, you know. He's very grateful to his team. He's a proud Irishman. And the roots come from his dad and his, you know, his paternal grandparents, I think from the Cork and Waterford area.
Yeah.
He's just not someone... Yeah, in pro cycling, you need to be selfish sometimes. You need to be a really hard so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't come across immediately with Ben Healy, but he has that dog in him. He really has that fighter in him, and he will do anything, as we've seen, physically and mentally turning himself inside out to get what he wants. And he always has a plan, Ben. He's very smart, you know, tactically, sports-wise, and he's a very nice guy. I mean, you could talk to him, and you wouldn't think there's this, you know, burning competitive instinct, but there really is.
When's the last time you kind of remember seeing a story like this? Because we were mentioning before, like, it's not uncommon to see a non-tour contender, you might say, to take the yellow jersey over the favourites. But after 10 days, that's a rarity. Because you get into the mountains at that stage, you're probably looking at a Julian Alaphilippe type of rider for the last time this type of thing happened. Can you remember the last time you were covering a story like this?
Yeah, when you asked the question, Alaphilippe is the one that came to mind. Maybe a Thomas Fauclair, but he was going back nearly 20 years and he had the yellow jersey a bit earlier. It is a rarity for the kind of Pogacar-Vingegaard era we are in now. And it's something to celebrate because sometimes I get a bit worried that cycling fans, are they turned off by the Poggy recent dominance, you know?
Yeah.
They need someone else to really cheer for, someone they can maybe relate to slightly more. So, I think it's something that happens once every 5-10 years, if that.
Just one more for me there. You mentioned light coffee, right? Is that exactly what I picture?
What was that? Sorry?
Is it exactly what I imagine the light coffee ride is? This, you know, coffee, you're cycling to a coffee shop, getting a coffee, cycling
exactly
back.
Exactly that, yeah.
How long does that take?
Pretty much. They spin their legs. They ride, you know, quite slowly for, maybe they ride like an hour to the coffee shop.
That's a long
maybe
ride.
Maybe an hour back. It's that. Yeah, the strange thing about Tour de France cyclists is that they, yes, it's a rest day, but they don't want to not cycle on
Because
the body
and
the mind is so attuned to, you know, 21 days of racing that if you just go cold turkey and lie in bed all day, which is tempting for all of them, then you'd probably be much worse on the next day. And there are actually stories from tour history of, sometimes the stage after the rest day is one of the most dangerous ones for having, you know, bad legs, and, you know, people have lost yellow jerseys or like lost time. So that's why they have their, you know, their little flat white, and then they ride back.
I suppose like the lactic acid build up as well. I just want to jump forward quickly to stage 16, Montpellier. There's a lot of talk about this stage that if Ben Healy is there, thereabouts, that this could be him actually winning the Tour de France. What are your thoughts now for those? From now, especially in Ireland, we're going to have so much more viewers tuning into TG Car to watch the Oscar Ilga coverage, and they're probably going to want to know, you know, a bit more about who they're watching and why they're watching. So I guess, is it stage 16 that we'll kind of know who the winner is?
I think after, you know, by stage 16, because the race goes through the Pyrenees, the high mountains, up to the weekend, by then we'll really know, is Ben Healy a contender for winning the race? I don't want to be the one to break Irish hearts, but I think it's quite unlikely. But hey, you know, stranger things have happened. You know, Alaphilippe and Vauclair nearly won the Tour, 6 years ago and 15 years ago. So that would be a hell of a story.
Andy McGrath, cycling journalist. Thanks so much. That was fascinating.
Thank you very much.
OTB Breakfast at UPMC, Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.